Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Introducing the A1 Summer Vacation Series. This completely fictitious vacation package takes you across the USA to meet each and every Art of Network Engineering co-host. Start in sunny California and catch a Padres game with Aaron. Next, be sure to pack flip-flops, snow boots, a raincoat, and a hoodie, as you might need all of them within a 24-hour time span, because you're heading to Nebraska. Have you ever seen a snow tornado? You might get to. After the corn feast, you'll head south to the great state of Tennessee for a grand old time of camping and off-roading with Dan. Heck, you might even get to go on a wedding photography ride-along. When the wedding's over, jump on one of those airplane jaunts because you're heading around the Philly area. Plenty of pool time and barbecue to be had with Pitmaster Andy. Just please mind the lawn. Finally, you'll get to make your way to No Blinky Blinky Land itself for a luxurious stay in Vermont. The maple syrup flows by the keg, and you might get to see a gaggle of mooses. Mooses? Moose? Meese? Moose-eye? Anyway, you'll have a great time. This entire trip could be all yours if it was actually real. Anyway, welcome to the Art of Network Engineering.
Oh my God. Tim, when you described Nebraska, I thought you were also talking about Vermont, so...
I thought you were talking about Tennessee, too.
It is so. Interchangeable, I suppose, but I only know what I know.
On July 4th, it was colder than it was on Christmas in 2020.
What?
Mm. Yeah, on Christmas, it was 65 degrees, and on July 4th this past week, it was 63. Huh. Welcome to summer.
63.
I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. That was Tim Bertino at Tim Bertino. Tim, how you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for on vacation this week, trying not to look at email too much. And so far, it's going well.
Excellent. Excellent. I, too, am on vacation this week.
Right on.
I love it because I'm getting two or three phone calls every day from the same guy. I love him. Let me preface that. I love him. I work with him. He's a great guy.
Must be a listener.
And he starts every phone call with, "Hey, man, I know you're on vacation, but hope you're having a good time."
Is it Taylor?
No, it's not Taylor.
Okay.
Taylor knows better. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You guys have heard of boundaries, right? Yeah. Tim's not checking his email too much on vacation. AJ's actively taking work calls on vacation.
I feel bad because there's a big maintenance window that's happening tonight that, you know, I'm not around for, that I feel like I probably should be around for, but I'm not going to be around for it because, one, I'm on vacation, and two, I'm recording a podcast, so not going to do it.
And my excuse is that I've never learned how to be Zen Andy.
There's only one Zen Andy.
The definition of vacation is not working.
Speaking of Zandy, he is at Andy Leptef, permit IP Andy. Andy, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. I was in the pool today. The water was the water. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when I was at the beach last weekend, these planes fly by with the messages, you know, like drink this beer or do that thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I swear one of them said something about something wooder, W-O-O-D-E-R. It was gone before I could get my phone to take a picture. But I'm like, oh, I got to show the guys. They teased me about water.
Wooder.
Yeah. Anyway, I was in the pool today. It was 92 degrees. I threw a whole bucket of ice in thinking it would help. Did not.
It didn't. No.
That explains that picture.
Yeah. But I'm good, man. Picture. Enjoying things. Got a maintenance window tonight.
Excellent. Well, we shan't dawdle. We don't want you to miss your maintenance window.
And we got time.
Dan at Howdy Packet. Dan, howdy.
Howdy. How's it going?
Pretty good. And you, sir?
I'm doing well. Today was a good day. I got some ACI stuff knocked out today.
So. Ooh. Tell me.
Yeah,
what'd
you
do? ACI.
It was just contracts. nothing special, but got quite a few of them knocked out. So
nice. That's always fun.
a contract, Andy, is
like, does it push policy or something? Like, what does a ACI contract do?
It's kind of like their version of ACLs, right? Like, this EPG can talk to this EPG over whatever filter you allow it.
See, all I know is EPG from Michelin, so I'm trying to fill in some more.
EPG is endpoint group.
Yeah. No, I got that one. I just didn't.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, all right, cool. It's an ACL.
I think we'll do an ACI episode sometime.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, we do have a guest this evening. We got some intro to get rid of, get through first before we introduce our guest. So, stand by, guest. Stand by. I know you're itching to talk. I can tell. No wins this week.
WTA.
I know. I think it's a holiday week. Let's hear a goat scream for relaxation.
The goat is sad.
And celebrating the birth of America. Go ahead, I don't know.
Andy. Can we do a goat scream for no wins?
I think relaxing and America's birthday is goat scream worthy. I feel better.
Same.
I feel better.
I always do. Breathe it in.
Well, I know everybody's working hard on stuff, and no doubt we'll see that thread fire right back up. I'm sure everybody was relaxing and enjoying. Hopefully most of y'all got a nice long weekend in. I know I did. I too, as I said earlier, am on vacation, so I'm not looking forward to going back. This episode of Art of Network Engineering is brought to you by you, our listeners. We had a fantastic response to our merch store last month, so that was very exciting. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We will have some very exciting giveaways coming soon because of all the purchasing that y'all did for us. We are rapidly approaching our 100,000 download mark. As of this morning, we broke 97,000 downloads. We are averaging 500 downloads a day, thanks to everybody listening, streaming, downloading the podcast. And so I have no doubt that by the time this episode airs next Wednesday, that we will probably have hit the 100,000 download mark by then, which is just mind-blowing. And it will be before our one-year anniversary.
Is that when I get up my Tesla?
No.
No.
All right, I don't know what number we got to hit for the Tesla folks, but keep downloading.
But I will add another zero to your paycheck.
So many zeros.
It'll be seven figures, and there's a decimal point in there. I'll let you figure out where I put the decimal point.
Oh, gosh.
But I digress. Anyway, thank you so much for your support. Please continue to support, download, listen, and give us feedback. We take the feedback, and we put it right back into the show. We love hearing from you guys. So tweet us, DM us, slide into our DMs, as the young kids say. Andy slides across his screen.
And the Open Gear giveaway is coming up too. So stay tuned for that.
I expect that year to be finished any minute now. And as soon as it is, we will start the giveaway. Trust me. Those are going to be exciting. All right. So I'm super excited to introduce our guest this evening. He is a huge contributor to our community. We've seen some pretty amazing and exciting things come from him this year, and so I can't wait to hear about the juicy details. Please welcome Robin Canella. Robin, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. It's really exciting to be on here.
We are excited to have you. He is at Robin Canella on Twitter. If you're not following him, you should. We will have all of his socials in the show notes, so look for those there and make sure you subscribe to him. Robin, let's start in the here and now. What do you do now? What are you up to these days?
These days, okay. So these days I'm actually working as a cybersecurity engineer.
That's a sexy title.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Something
I think that's a
different.
Highly sought after title. Sounds kind of dirty.
Funny. Before I got hired, my hiring manager, he asked, "What do you want your title to be?" I'm like, cybersecurity engineer.
Heck yeah.
Robin, that's cool and everything, but I feel like you could have aimed a little bit higher there.
I was just going to say cybersecurity architect is what I would have went for.
Vice president?
Yeah, CTO, sir. CTO.
I'm surprised you didn't sneak Batman in there somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
So that's what you're doing now. What did you come from?
So right previously, before I did cybersecurity, I was a voice engineer.
So, that seems like a big leap.
Collaboration.
Yeah, how did that transition happen?
I know. It is a big leap. It's completely different arena when I compare voice engineer to cybersecurity engineer. And actually, the way it happened was my mentor. So I got a mentor last year. First time I ever had a mentor.
How did you get the mentor? Because I still don't have one and I'm trying to figure out how to get one.
So someone that I work with, I just reach out to him and I said, hey, do you do mentorship? Would you mind being my mentor? And he said, yeah.
Somebody you look up to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone I looked up to. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was actually my wife had a mentor for a long time. And I asked her, like, what's that like? Like, what's it like to have a mentor? And like, that must be pretty cool. Someone you can talk to about your career. So I had a mentor. And then through the conversations I had with my mentor, we spoke like once a month. He actually reached out to me through conversation and he offered me the opportunity.
Awesome.
You know, he knew and understood, right? I didn't have all the skills needed for cybersecurity, but he knew that I was a very passionate person about technology and I was willing to make effort to learn. So he said the first person he thought of was me.
So wait, who was this? Your mentor offered you the position?
Yeah.
Damn, I need a mentor.
So he actually got a position as a CISO, right? Chief Information Security Officer.
Yeah, so now, was he awesome. In security when you were in collaboration?
Yeah, he was in cybersecurity.
Okay.
So, two different companies, correct?
So we actually worked at the same company for a while. Hmm. And then he worked for, you know, he started working for a separate company and he reached out.
So he was your mentor at the same company. He moved on.
Yeah.
And then he pulled you with him.
Yeah. And the way it happened too is that, you know, I was kind of reaching the end of the road, I guess you can say, for collaboration. I was kind of getting tired of it. And I wanted to do something else. So I actually just started applying. And, you know, I told him this. I told him I started applying for other positions. And eventually, you know, he came back to me and he said, hey, by the way, I know are you still looking? And I was like, yeah. Like, oh, I got this great opportunity for you if you want it.
Hmm.
That's how it happened.
Wow.
So before we get deep into the security aspect of it, I kind of want to go back further. What got you into collaboration? Was collaboration your first foray into IT, or was there something before that? And I guess maybe we can kind of define what collaboration was for you, what your functions were in that position.
Yeah, sure. So I actually, it kind of just landed on my plate. Not something I chose, just something I was.
Yeah, I hear that from most people in collaboration. Like it sounds like nobody chooses collaboration. It's just, you know, they got elected to be the collab person and now here we are.
Yeah. So I got my intro to IT, I was actually I was doing retail before IT, and mm-hmm. I also did utility locating. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Yeah, where they mark the utilities.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was doing. I did that for a couple of years.
So like DigSafe? Is that like a thing? Is that what you're talking about?
PA1 call. They call it something different, I think.
Yeah, in Vermont, they call it DigSafe. So like if you're going to do some excavating, building, or something like that, you call the 800 number, and they show up, and they mark out the utilities.
Huh. Yep, correctly, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they give you two little rods and you like walk around and try to find the water lines or? I don't
know. Only you know in Tennessee. What's
funny? Water lines are just visual.
Really?
I didn't know that until I did it. Water and sewer, you just look at the other water line and you just mark a line straight there because they don't curve. They just go straight.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So, I guess that makes sense.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. So I did that for a couple of years. You know, I worked at retail stores like Toys R Us.
Hold on. How do you locate the different things in the ground? Do they have like, what I like, boy. So I have gas, electric, water coming in here, sewer. So like, all right, I get the water you just follow and sewer follows that. Like, how do you find gas and electric? Is it
one of those locator joins?
Yeah, but how do you what's the difference between gas and electric with the locator joins? Are they two different joins?
No, same thing. So electric, it just, you know, electric naturally produces energy. So actually what you do is with your transmitter, you connect to the power, right, the power source.
Yeah, right.
And then you just kind of just trace it. With gas is untraceable. So you need actually a tracer wire. You plug into the tracer wire and it's attached to the PVC pipe. And then you just follow it like that.
So when they install a gas line, they put a tracer wire for the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
And if it's broken, you got no way of tracing it, honestly.
You just spray the red line and hope for the best. Right?
If it's broken, I'm sure somebody will.
You have depending on some manufacturers, you have like their plats. You can kind of see where it is, but those are not 100% reliable.
Yeah.
You know. So I did that for a while. And then a buddy of mine, he did IT. And he knew I was into IT. I was like the family IT person.
Family nerd.
Takes everybody's computer, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Family nerd.
Thanksgiving, exactly. You don't look forward to it because everybody's like, oh, Robin. Oh, I got this pop-up.
My phone, this thing still isn't working. Can you help me?
I got a new phone. Bring... Can you set my email up on there?
I got this new router.
How do I hook it up? Plug it in. Anyways. So I was a family IT guy. It stems back from like growing up in high school. I was a big PC gamer. I was in IRC chats. You know, nice. I built my own computer. So then I got to learn how to use computers, build computers. And a buddy of mine was like, why didn't you apply for a job doing this? And I'm like, really? People get paid to do this?
Doing what? Building PCs?
Just like troubleshooting PCs.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'll try. So I put my resume out there. I kind of, you know, spruced it up a little bit, you know, kind of exaggerated a little bit. The stuff that I put on that I knew how to do, you know, I knew how to do it, but, you know, I didn't have any like professional experience. Mm-hmm.
So did you say you like worked in IT at Toys R Us?
I know, right? I troubleshoot people's computers all the time. But I got a call from like a, you know, like a temp agency. And actually, I got a position as a contractor for a really large government contractor in Virginia.
And doing what? What was that gig? Just
PC imaging.
Okay.
Yeah, I just
worked at the first PC job you were talking about.
Yeah, I worked at a PC depot.
I don't want to glance over that gem that you dropped, though, that you hadn't been paid professionally to do things that you knew how to do and you had done for free for people.
Yeah.
And they're valuable skills. But so I think there's... You know, I think that's a good little tip for people who don't have the experience and are trying to get in, you know, not necessarily lying or embellishing. I don't know what the right word is, but if you have the skill, you know how to do it and you've done it for free for 20 or 30 people. I'm guessing you wrote it up that it was an actual job somehow, right? Like, yeah.
But I also did volunteer. I volunteered at my church, right? Mm-hmm. I helped with all things electronic. So I got involved in like AV stuff, computer stuff. So that helped build up my knowledge and confidence. And, you know, when I got the interview and I explained what I knew, you know, they were impressed and they offered me a position.
You know, I think that's some underrated avenues there, right? Like the volunteer thing, like everybody's a part of some sort of social organization, be it a church or something like that. They always need tech assistance, jump in, help out. That's experience. The contract work, you know, like when you're young and you're looking for experience and you don't have a family to support, you don't have other stuff going on in your life, taking contract work is a very feasible way to get some good experience. You know, there's albeit some more risk in there. Maybe it's not like a long-term position, but it gets you the experience you need to get your foot in the door somewhere else for that longer-term position. And so I think those are really great nuggets of information. And then, of course, the slight embellishing of your resume to highlight your experience.
But you have the skills, right? It's just nobody's paid for.
You got the skills and you can talk
the
experience and you can back it up. I think that's really what matters.
I don't think it's falsifying anything, which wouldn't be right. You know, it's, I know how to do this stuff. And then you get in front of them and you show them, you know, oh, great. The guy knows what he's doing. Bring him in. I didn't mean to sidetrack you, Robin. So you started that PC gig?
Yeah. So, I did that for, it was a rough time though, because I was so stressed because my contract was only for 1 month. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take it. Better than what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But luckily, they kept extending it, and eventually, they gave me a full-time position.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
So what was your thought going into that? I'm going to take the 1 month contract, and as soon as I get that, I'm going to start looking for something else. Or did you wait until the contract was over before you really started looking for the next step?
So I was not actively looking. The person I met, because as a contractor, you have the contracting company, and then you have the company that you're doing the work for, right? So I actually met both managers, right? I interviewed with both managers, and they both really liked me. And the manager of the actual company, right, not the contracting company, he said, I'm going to try whatever I can to get you on board. With that being said, I kind of like, okay, I don't have to put too much stress into looking for another job. As long as I do a good job, that's all that matters. And I did. You know, I worked as hard as I could. Learned as much as I could. I remember at that time, it was just imaging PCs. So I don't know if any of you have any experience imaging PCs.
Yep.
That's all we did all day, just image PCs, used PCs, new PCs. And I think on average, everyone did around 8 to 12. So when I came, I was like, you know what? I need to raise the bar. So I was doing like 12 to 16.
So just for listeners who don't know what imaging is that like loading the operating system and applications and stuff, but it's just all one image, right? You're not doing like one program at a time.
Yeah. So how we did it at that time was we had a little USB with a custom configuration for Windows, and it essentially hardened the system, right? It would disable stuff, enable stuff, like features and stuff like that. And it would make it so it's a baseline that that company approves. And as a government contractor, you really had to follow a lot of like government restrictions.
That was just government work.
It was just government contractors, so they were involved, heavily involved with the government.
Were these PCs going to government employees, or were these like retail
consultants?
Okay.
Our consultants that worked with the government. Well, you know, we had compliance that we had to follow. And so it was really neat. I mean, at that time, it would take us maybe 2-3 hours to image PCs, but we had huge stations, so I can put like 8 machines at a time and image them all. And it was pretty cool. I learned a lot of things like Iron Mountain. We had complete like hard drive backups, which I haven't seen till since then. Like I've never seen companies really do a hard drive backup. I'm sure they do, but nowadays most people just back up their files, right? Like OneDrive or SharePoint or whatever. But these are hard drives that were completely backed up and you can just restore it. It was so simple.
Like just a mirror image somewhere, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty neat stuff. So yeah, that's where I started. And then from there, I just kind of learned and I moved on to a different company doing desktop support. And eventually so what ended up happening, how I ended up in collaboration was this company that I worked for had about 200 employees, give or take, in the office. But then they sold a portion of the company to a much larger, it's a fintech company. They sold it to a larger fintech, which I believe Andy works for. And then we had 40 employees left. So they were like, hey, we don't need 2 desktop guys anymore. So we're eliminating your position, but we're offering you this position, which was like a conference systems engineer or whatever, mainly doing like WebEx. So yeah, I became the WebEx guy. And then from there, they were like, hey, it doesn't make sense for you to be in the desktop team. So let's move you into the network team to join the other voice engineers. But at that time, they did everything. So they did networking, they did servers, security, collaboration. It was just one big team that did it all.
Okay.
And once I joined the team, they were like, hey, you should learn networking. You should learn servers. You should learn this. So that's how I got my start.
Was that exciting or did that feel like a burden?
It was actually really exciting. The reason why is because as I was a desktop engineer, desktop support technician, and I worked with like some of the network engineers, some of the architects. These guys were just, I mean, in my perspective, they were genius. They were really smart people. And I don't know, it was really inspiring whenever they would get stuff done.
You weren't intimidated at all? Okay.
So, and they told me what to do. Like, hey, if you really want to learn networking, here, buy a couple routers, buy a couple switches, or we can send you some if we have some. And you know, learn about the CCNA. That's what you want to go for.
So this is why you were in desktop support and they were trying to groom you for some networking stuff coming up. And is that because you expressed interest in networking?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so I expressed interest and then one of the architects at the company, he really likes that. When people express interest, he is willing to help them to succeed. And, you know, that's really, I don't know if it's difficult to find, but I felt like it's very difficult to find someone that is willing to help you at that level. So any question I had, any little question I had, I would ask him and he would help me.
Were you the question guy? You're like the passionate question guy. Like, how does everything work? See, I think, at least from a lot of people that I know, if you find somebody like that, you want to help them. They kind of, like when I find someone, they remind me of me that, you know, it's just like, oh my God, what's going on? This is amazing. I want to, you know, teach me. That excites me. Like, that's great. You're in an environment that wanted to foster that and get you labbing and stuff.
So. Let's put some time on this. Like how long is it now from when you first started doing that imaging contract to where we are right now? Is that like a year, a couple of years, 6 months?
Let's see. I started desktop support maybe 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And I did desktop support for a total of like 5 years.
So five years in, that's when you switched to being the WebEx guy?
Yeah.
So did you have any like education background or were you working on any other certs before then or during that time?
This is going to sound kind of silly, but I had no idea about this whole certification stuff.
Sure.
No idea. For a long period of time,
A lot of people don't. It's interesting. Yeah.
I would just hear the names, right? CompTIA. I didn't even know who Cisco was when I first started working. Now, people would mention Cisco. I'm like, who's Cisco? What's CompTIA? So for a long period of time, I didn't have any sort of structure. Like, oh, I should study this and this and this. I was just kind of like, just do whatever I can on a day-to-day basis to essentially get paid.
So from an education standpoint, you've gotten most of your training is on the job up to this point?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I wanted to highlight that is that we've talked about this multiple times, and it's, you know, the college path isn't the only path to get into the IT industry. There's mm-hmm. multiple ways at it. I mean, you had made it as far as you had without any of that, you know, post-secondary education. So yeah, just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, it was something when I would compare myself with my peers, I'm like, man, I'm the only one that only has a high school diploma. Everyone else has a bachelor's. And, you know, at one point I'm just like, man, maybe I'm not good enough. But then I'm like, oh, well, I'm here. So
there you go.
You don't need a bachelor's to do this job.
Nice. I like
Have you never had imposter syndrome? Are you one of those guys?
That's a daily thing.
Yeah. All right.
Nah, imposter syndrome is something I think we'll never escape. Me personally, I don't think I ever will, because I'm sure there's someone out there that knows more than me. Got to be confident in your ability to do stuff. So yeah, then after 5 years, I did collaboration stuff, mainly WebEx. And then I kind of did a little desktop support here and there. But then once they moved me to the networking team, they were like, all right, you need to learn more than just WebEx. And I was like, okay, cool. What else am I going to learn? They're like, okay, you need to learn the UCM, right? Cisco Unified Communications Manager. You need to learn Unity, right? Cisco Unity. And at that time, we use UCCX, right? The Unified Contact Center.
Yeah, Contact Center Express.
And, well, we had Enterprise Edition. Okay. We had IAM in Present, and we had Expressways. They were like, you got to learn all this stuff. And I'm like, great.
What version were you on?
When I first joined?
Yeah.
11.5.
Oh, okay. All right. I did that stuff. I got brought in on, and like yourself, I didn't like choose it. I was chosen for it. My first help desk job, that was like the first big project that I got to be a part of. And we were going from like a traditional digital PBX system to voice over IP. And we were implementing the whole, you know, unified communication suite. So like you said, Call Manager, Unity, CUPSI, or IAM in Presence. We didn't do Contact Center. And it was all version 7, which was like a huge facelift, a very big change over some of the previous versions. So I got my start on 7. So I'm picking up what you're throwing down, and I kind of miss it, but I kind of don't.
Yeah. So that was, and then on top of that, they also involved me in networking. So they were like, oh, you have to learn. Because we were one team, my main focus was collaboration, but I also had to learn networking. I also had to learn like security, like ASAs and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it was just a small percentage. It was mainly focused on collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually the company decided, executive leadership decided, it doesn't make sense to keep all these groups together. So they actually split all the groups into their own separate groups. And they like, oh, you know most about collaboration, so you go here. So that's what ended up happening.
So did you get siloed at that point?
Yeah, what ended up happening is a lot of people were unhappy with the decision, and we lost a lot of architects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of the architects left because they liked the whole cohesive unit because they can all work together.
Yeah.
But once the split happened, you know, politics involved, and yeah, we lost some good architects, and a lot of them went on to like Cisco, and I mean, at the end, it was better for them.
Was that a relief for you personally to be able to focus on collaboration, or did you not like being taken away from the other stuff you were learning?
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
It was cool. You know, you get to learn like vSphere, like that's on the server side, right? And you know, on the networking side, I was able to touch like a lot of different technologies, and you know, they just implemented ACI when I was there. It was, you know, it was interesting. I didn't know what it was at all. I mean, even till this day, I still don't really know what it is. I mean, I know what it does from a high level perspective, but it was just cool stuff. And I was like, man, I get to play with this stuff. Dream was shattered.
So how far back did you decide that it was potentially time for a change? And how specifically did you land on security? I know you talked about having the mentor and getting the offer to do that. Did you have any other aspirations for security, or did it just kind of happen naturally like that?
I did. I mean, I always thought the concept of security hacking, right? I always thought that was cool. Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't think hacking is cool?
Right.
Right. So actually, I started with this new company in April, but I was actually interviewing with a VAR, a value added reseller, since January. I know it's a long stretch back. I had like 6 interviews.
Oof.
Oh, wow.
Until April. Right. So this whole time I'm making this decision, you know, I'm going to go with this VAR for network security, right? Focusing on Cisco and Palo Alto. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to make this transition eventually, right? When that hiring phase opens up, because they didn't open until like April. But then in April, my mentor reached out to me and I'm like, okay, so I can do network security or cybersecurity. And I chose cybersecurity.
What's the difference?
I think network security is more focused on like the engineering perspective, like deploying appliances, you know, and I think cybersecurity is more like the info stack, more like policy management, stuff like that. Yeah, I would say tools. That's my understanding from the difference of the two.
No, that makes sense. That definition.
Yeah, that makes sense when you dissect it like that.
Yeah, I got to say, it was a tough decision though, because I'm like, man, I want to work for a VAR. Like, that's cool. You get to see stuff, new stuff all the time. But then I hear stories from other people that work at VARs and they're like, hate it. I hate to travel, dealing with customers. And I'm like, okay, I really got to think about this. Do I want to deal with customers and travel all the time? Or do I want to have a comfy position at home and not have to deal with people?
And so, you can get into this.
No, my choice.
you can answer as much of this as you want, Robin, but this wasn't, if I remember right, this wasn't just a new position for you. This was a new position for the company you were going into, right? They didn't have anybody like you before.
Correct. Yeah. They didn't have, essentially, they didn't really have an infosec team.
And that wasn't scary for you at all?
No, actually, the opportunities excited me. I'm like, I get to build stuff from scratch.
But you have no InfoSec background or skills, right?
Not at all. Actually, I have my.
So how does wait? How does it? How does a company?
Here we go.
How does a company decide we're going to bring in an InfoSec guy? And by the way, he has no experience, no skills, but we're going to create this position for this guy.
His mentor was the hiring manager, bro. It was like somebody trusted, right? Like. They knew that Robin was capable, despite having like, you know, the experience on paper or whatever. They knew he was very capable of, you know, dealing with it.
Yeah.
He
knew I was easygoing and I would be willing to learn. Yeah. He didn't want to deal with someone that may have had all the knowledge, but were not willing to change their ways. Or maybe they come with a methodology of a large company and they're like, no, this is the way it has to be. You know, very unflexible.
I've heard that a lot, Robin. The job that I have now, the guy brought me on. He's like, listen, I've hired some real, you know what, and you know, they know everything, but they're super abrasive and nobody wants to be around them. So you find, like you said, an easygoing guy with a good personality. He's a go-getter. He wants to learn, you know, somebody you can groom that you like, as opposed to the guy with all the skills who just want to punch in the face. I've heard that a lot. Something to be said for the soft skills and that personality type, right?
I agree.
Easy to work with and a go-getter.
And people remember that too. So, you know, the soft skills supersede, I would say. Yeah, you can have all the talent in the world, but you're a jerk to work with. You know, it's hard to recommend.
I think that the IT network engineering, any sort of the verticals in IT, like there's no possible way that you could know everything. So when you get to a person that acts like they do, that's not fun to be around, you know, because they're not open-minded enough to understand, like, there's still more to learn. There's new stuff coming out all the time. There's challenges before them, you know, and so it just makes the whole relationship abrasive from the get-go.
The problem with those people and what they do to the culture is they get mad at you for not knowing everything they know. And that's a really difficult environment to work.
Yeah, for
sure. At least that's been my experience. Like, sorry, bro. I don't know everything. You do. My bad. Like, I'm just, you know, because I'm question guy, right? I want to ask questions. I want to make sure I don't break stuff. How does this thing work? And guy's like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, all right. This is the conversation we're having now, buddy.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah.
So I don't want to gloss over this because I think it's a pretty big thing you're doing, but you're spending quite a bit of time on something else going on in your life. Do you want to get into that around education?
Yeah. So I actually went back to college.
There you go.
Which is nice. Pretty awesome. I actually started at WGU, Western Governors University.
Let's start with 2021 is the year of Robin. Okay?
Year.
I looked at your blog. I'm following you on Discord and the socials. Like you really, I was just taking notes, you know, 2021, a new me, right? I mean, you got a blog post about it. So tell us about 2021, all the things. I mean, there's more than just college. What have you done? What is this new me? What's going on? Because it's really, it's been fun to watch.
What sparked the decision for new me?
Let's see. Okay. Let's start at the beginning of the year. Actually, my wife and I, we were trying to decide, you know, like, do we want to continue? 2020 sucked. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And being home, like, I just felt like I became a different person.
Yep.
Same. Like, I got lazy and I was just, like, very irritable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Having to stay home, see the same people, watch it, do the same routine day after day. And I was like, you know, I'm really tired and I really don't want to continue to live this type of lifestyle. I know the circumstances happen, right? But I really felt like I learned a lot about myself during 2020. And I decided, you know, 2021, I want it to be different. You know, I want to go out and explore and I want to just, you know, just change like my personality, not my personality, but just change my lifestyle. And yeah, 2021, we made a big decision. We actually decided to sell our house in Virginia, which, you know, we bought it brand new. We constructed it from the ground up, right? We picked all the little nooks and crannies, right? It was one of those, right? Pre-built homes.
You picked the backsplash in the kitchen and everything, yeah.
The backsplash, the flooring, right? What type of protection you want, like under the carpet, how thick you want it. Like all these things we picked, right? And essentially it was like our dream home, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, we decided, you know, it was pretty large house, just me and my wife and our dog, like 4,500 square feet, including the basement.
Big crib.
Including the finished basement, because there was also unfinished parts. And it was nice, comfortable, but at the same time, like, we just both weren't very happy. And it was not only, you know, the house and stuff, but also, like, some relationships got strained as well. And we were like, you know what, we should just go and try something new. Like, what's holding us back? We both work remotely. And in October of 2020, we actually just came to Phoenix just to kind of see what it's like, right? And we fell in love.
Why Phoenix? You know, how did you wind up in Phoenix? Had you heard about it? Was it just random, like, let's try this out?
Heard about it, but also it's kind of like go away from the colder climate, come to somewhere nice and warm. Well, right. Really warm.
I don't know why. Why would you want to get cold?
I'm sure warm is the word.
Hot.
Yeah.
It's a dry heat.
But it's a dry heat, exactly.
Yeah. It's still hot. I'll tell you that much.
That's the dad joke, right? It's not the heat that'll get you, it's the humidity.
We just decided, we sold our home. We put it up on Zillow or whatever. We had a realtor. And in 7 days, we got an offer.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. You know, we sold our house in 7 days. And it went up in value. Without a place to go?
Did you have a place in Phoenix to go yet?
We actually just picked an apartment online.
Okay, cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't see it in person. We just thought, yeah, and that looks like a good place.
And I'm guessing your wife had a similar experience with you in 2020, right? It was rough, strained. Yeah. It was like you guys were in that same place mentally of like, we need a fresh start here.
Yeah, gain weight. Like it was just bad.
Yeah.
And so we just decided, you know what? Let's just sell our house. Like is our house really holding us back?
Did you have family down there? Because it's the only reason I live where I live is because I got family around here. That's it.
Where, in Arizona?
Well, no. Like, did you have family in Virginia that you left?
Well, my brother lived there, but he just moved to West Virginia
right.
for another job. So technically, I didn't really have anyone left. Yeah. Just friends.
I mean, that makes it easier, right? Like, you're not leaving your peeps.
So we moved across country. We drove across country.
Wow.
We sold almost all of our stuff. So we had just one trailer and the truck bed full of stuff, and we drove across country. We took our time, right? It took us like 5 days to drive. And
how was that?
It was rough.
Oh, okay.
I remember you had an incident with driving. One of your lab rats.
Now, wait, was she supposed to drive?
She's scared because of the trailer. So I was okay. All right, I'll drive.
I get it. Yeah.
Because it does feel a little different, right? When you're driving with the full trailer, you can feel it pulling the truck.
Listen, if I was her, I would have used the same excuse. Robin, you got this, buddy.
And we did have an incident, like AJ was about to say. We were parked at a hotel in Tennessee, by the way. That's why I like Tennessee. So someone actually broke into my truck bed cover. It's like a, it was a soft cover, and it has rails, but someone pulled out a router. Right, I had a router there, luckily.
What's this?
Hey, Bubba, and... what's this?
can we make whiskey with this thing? Nah.
They threw it in the ditch.
And... Oh, yeah, they were like, screw that.
So,
they didn't know what it did.
I had no idea. So I was walking my dog, and we kind of went to the ditch. And I was like, oh, look, that's interesting. There's a router. The 2921 router. You know, those things are huge.
Wait, that's my router.
But at that time, I was like, oh, this is so hilarious. Someone else.
What a small world. There's a router in the ditch.
Oh, I can add that to my lab. Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Walk back inside. My wife's like, all right, let me go back to the car. And she calls me and she's like, did you even check the truck? I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. She's like, no, it's not. I'm like, what are you talking about? So I come back. I see the gash. And I'm like, okay. Oh, that's my router. So, yeah. Then I had to drive to Oklahoma to get a new truck bed cover. I had to be there within like the next day, 8 a.m. or something.
Please tell me you got a hard top this time.
It has like aluminum rails.
Yeah, yeah.
And it rolls, so it's like a flat profile, but it's really, really difficult to get through.
Yeah. Nice.
Did they get anything else besides a router, or was that the only loss?
That was it.
Okay, that's all great. Dan had time to grab.
And it slipped out of my hands.
It's probably sitting right behind him.
It took a beating, though. Like, I guess they dropped it, but I was like, that thing, nothing happened to it. Just the face cover came off a little bit.
It's a 2921, man. You can beat the crap out of those things. Yeah, still work.
So I drove across country, got a new job, got my motorcycle license, something I've been wanting to do.
Oh, cool. So
that's pretty dope.
There we go.
I really got into fitness. So actually, I lost, like, I think so far, maybe 30 pounds.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's awesome. Huge difference. So I exercise. I kind of slow down a little bit, but I exercise about 4 to 5 days a week now.
How do you feel?
I feel great. Yeah, I don't exercise in the morning. And the reason why is because I work East Coast hours, so get up around 5:30. I usually log in by 6. I'm off of work by like 2 o'clock. So then right after work, I go to the gym.
Okay.
And yeah, it's so. Let's see, what else did I do this year?
What's up with the books?
Started school.
School.
College. Oh, the books. That's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm on my 15th book right now.
Whoa.
So you made a, what was your post? You wanted to read 30 books?
30 books, yeah.
This year? Wow.
So you're halfway.
Why? Just like, I like to read, and this is part of my reinvention of myself. Yeah.
Right? So what's on Robin's book list? Is it like fiction, nonfiction, cert Mixture guides? What are we reading?
So I don't include cert guides, right? They're not really. What I consider a book.
Torture devices.
Fiction, nonfiction, like self-help books, stuff like that. Right now I'm finishing up the Barack Obama Promised Land.
Oh, nice.
Do you have a favorite of the first 15? One that stands out? Or they're all pretty great so far?
Why We Sleep is really interesting.
Hmm.
That really also changed my perspective on sleep. So I will always skim on sleep, like 5-6 hours, and I'm like, oh, I'm good. Then I read this book and I'm like, I'm not good.
Yeah.
I need to sleep at least 7 hours.
And now, were you supplementing with caffeine when you were doing the 5-6 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 24, 32 ounce caffeine a day. I do drink it black with no cream or sugar, but still, that doesn't help.
Right. Are you drinking less caffeine now that you're sleeping well and exercising?
Yeah. I'm drinking a lot more water.
Yeah.
So I kind of track my water intake.
Yep.
So it feels so much different. I mean, I still drink coffee, but just not as much, like 12 ounce, maybe 18 ounce.
You don't need it to survive through your day because you're exhausted.
Yeah. So, I started doing all these challenges and I'm like, you know, I'm going to just change and just everything that I've wanted to do or things that in the past were like, oh, I can't do this. I'm like, no, I can do this. So little by little, I've just been adding stuff as I go along.
Hey, college is part of that too, right?
Yeah, it is. I started May 1st, and right now, I think you need 120 credits to graduate. I have almost 60 in 2 months.
Whoa.
You got 60 credits in 2 months?
Yeah, so WGU is competent-based, so if you already know the material, just go and take the final. You don't have to, like, sit through the whole class.
Now, you can sit through the classes if you need to, but if you don't, you can test out.
Yeah, if you want. Wow. Yeah. And like the last course I passed was the, so I had two courses for the A plus, the 1001, 1002. Only reason I took it. But it took me 5 days to do both. So nice. Kind of just, I already knew the material because of my desktop support days.
So it sounds like your 2021 is much better than your 2020 and all the changes that you've made. I mean, you feel better, you're sleeping better, you look better, your health is better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I also grew a beard. That's something different.
Yeah. As Dan rubs his.
Dan's still working on
his. Excellent.
So
talk to me later.
pardon my attention span if you already went over this, but did you make that move before the new job was on the table?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were still working with the same company. You were already working remote, so it was cool wherever you lived. And then you got to Arizona, and that's when the conversation with the mentor started about the career change. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... Yeah, we moved to Arizona just to move. It wasn't like...
That wasn't for the job or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't for the job or anything.
Gotcha. So what was the driving force in getting the bachelor's degree?
I guess it's something I've seen a lot of other people have. And actually, I have two older brothers. And our parents immigrated from the Dominican Republic. So we're first-generation Americans, I guess you can say.
Yeah. Awesome.
So my parents don't have, like, college degrees either. So I kind of felt like maybe I should be the first one. Lo and behold, my oldest brother is getting his bachelor's too.
That's awesome.
All right. So are you guys like racing right now on who completes the
A little bit. I'll be honest. I'm pretty competitive. So I'm like, I'm going to get it before you.
Well, yeah, you're getting a bachelor's degree in like 6 months, dude.
Crazy.
I won't tell you how many years and how much money it took me to get that bachelor's, Robin. You're killing it, man.
Same.
Yeah. So what's really cool about WGU is that you just pay flat fee for 6 months and you can take as many classes as you want.
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
So, pretty different.
That's any new hobbies?
Cool. Not really.
Have you been taking any pictures of anything?
Oh, that's true. Forgot.
I'm on your blog. It's all right.
I haven't taken pictures in maybe 2 weeks now.
I like what you've been doing, though, man. You've come a long way in a short period. Dan's a professional guy. I dabble, amateur, but I really like you've come along, man. Your images are looking really nice.
Yeah, I try. I've been reading. Yeah. I just like I got this photography course. It was like $10. It came with a book, and I'm like, oh, well, there's some good tips. And yeah, I've been reading a little bit about the book, you know, photography and.
Enjoying it?
Yeah. Just kind of getting it. It's just awesome to capture those moments. That's what I feel like.
Little time machine.
Yeah.
you're freezing time. It's super cool. I know that she's not on the show and all, but I just want to ask, like, has the move and everything you just talked about, you know, your wife's probably on a similar journey, right? Like, she's in a new place and doing new things. And is she kind of, she there with you? You guys are both having a better year than last year?
Yeah, she's like, man, you changed so much. Mm. Like, I should only be getting better, not worse.
Yeah.
As I get older, right? Get better with age.
Thank you, guys.
Look at Dan's face.
It's like a fine wine. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You wouldn't, young buck.
I mean, technically, I'm getting older, though, Andy.
but Robin, she's doing good and flourishing. And
yeah. And yeah, that's one of the things, too, that it helped. You know, for me, I think the number one thing in a relationship, which I feel like I lack in a lot, is communication.
Mm.
So my wife loves to communicate. So she stresses that a lot. So I'm like, all right, you know, I really got to make a conscious effort to communicate, let you know how I feel. And it helps, actually.
So this is like, I agree with you 1,000%. And it's just funny. I'm thinking there's some kind of like stat out there. I don't know if it's like women use 6 times as many words as men in the course of a day. The number might be higher even, but you know, they're definitely communicators. But I mirror that too, man. Like when my wife and I first started dating, we were very good communicators and both kind of hotheads, and that made for some spicy arguments, but.
No.
Yeah, you know, over time and learning some skills and working on our communication, it's just really made our friendship slash marriage, you know, and family stronger, which is huge. And guys, I don't think are natural communicators talking about your feelings. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so
I just thought it was funny that he was a collaboration guy, but then his wife said he sucked at communication. So, I don't know.
I have a career that says otherwise.
Woman.
Want to see my certs?
His wife says we need to have a conversation, and then next thing that you know, she gets a WebEx invite in her mailbox.
There it is. Let's have a family meeting.
I'm like, whoops, quality of service. Packet dropped. I don't know what you're saying.
That's great. So, this
sounds amazing.
What's in the future? I mean, it sounds like you've gotten a lot done. What's coming next for Robin?
Mm-hmm. So right now I'm actively learning pen testing.
Okay.
So
what is that?
Penetration testing. It's where you want to essentially find out if there's any vulnerability in any system or application. Right now I'm focused more on like web applications.
So are these tools that just slam like ports and they're just trying to get in somehow and overcome authentication parameters, right?
Yeah, so there's like tools, like, you know, you use different types of tools. So you use like a tool like Nmap, for example. It can scan like open ports, and if there's any open ports, it can also see if it can detect like any operating system versions.
It's like a self-signed certificate, it won't like, right? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Nmap does more of like the networking portion. So scan like ports and protocols.
Right. But
like
there's other scanners that look for like that other stuff too, right? Like,
yeah.
Hey, you need a signed certificate from a CA. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's like this really cool tool that I use. It's called Burp Suite. And it's like, it's for like web applications. So you can like, you know, do brute force. You can, you know, change like a post message, a get message. Like you can just manipulate and just try to see what the browser would accept.
Mm.
And it will also like scan like to see if there's any active vulnerabilities. So like if it's susceptible to like, you know, XSS, you know, cross-site scripting or SQL injection, like these things would be detected.
So is the company you work for a software company? Like what are you guys scanning actually?
So yeah, it is a software company based on the food industry. So it's actually really, really cool. I'll do it very brief, but it's if you want to develop a product, let's say you work in the United States, but you want to develop a product in Europe, you may not be able to use the same ingredients and the same amount of ingredients in that country. So how do you know? You got to go through like all these legal regulations, right? You know, in the US, we have FDA. And so what our company does is we get all that information for you. You input your formula and we tell you whether or not it's legal in that country. Okay.
That is really cool.
Wow. Yeah. So... Yeah, so we're like certified. We're like part of the non-GMO as well. So, you know, little butterfly. So like we're active members. I think the most active participant in like providing non-GMO to products. Okay. There's a lot that goes into it. So like, you know, if you want to be a certified like organic farms, like you need the process takes 5 years just for the farmland.
Whoa.
You
get
all fertilized and ready.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you got to go through an inspection. So we have inspectors that come and inspect stuff. And they certify, you know, they validate whether or not it's certifiably organic. So it's really cool stuff.
That's crazy considering how much like organic stuff I see around. Sorry, Dan. Go for it.
Go ahead.
No, I go for it.
So you're currently doing the pen testing now. What kind of certs are around that? We haven't really talked about any kind of security stuff on here. So enlighten us on what are some of the certs that you can go for in security. And I guess specifically now that you're working towards pen testing. But...
So there's the eLearn security. I don't know if you guys know about eLearn security. Mm-hmm. They were actually just purchased, I believe, by INE.
Okay.
You guys know INE?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So INE is like really focused on cybersecurity now, and they purchased eLearn security. So they have like penetration testing, you know, application testing. And they have all the, they have so many certs. They have like 12 on their website.
Mm, okay.
Right now, I'm currently studying certification from, you guys ever heard of the Cyber Mentor?
No. Yep.
All right. So he actually developed a certification. It's called PNPT, Penetration Network Testing Professional. Okay. And what's really cool is the format of the test. So like kind of like the OSCP, Offensive Security, something certified professional. That's like a 24-hour exam, if I'm not mistaken. And you have 24 hours to get a certain task completed. And with that, though, it's like you have access to everything. Like, you know, you Google. That's normally like 90% of the job is Googling, right? Getting information, knowing how to do stuff. So I really like his approach. The PMPT is a 5-day. You got 5 days to complete it, and then 2 days to draft up a presentation of what you found and how to address it. And then you got to present it to him and like someone else. So that's kind of cool stuff. So that you got that OSCP. I believe that's made from the same people that make Kali Linux offensive security.
Yeah.
You also have like the EC Council. You know, yeah, they make like one. The CEH. Everyone knows the CEH.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have CompTIA. So CompTIA, like Security Plus, you know, Pentest Plus. You got the CYSA.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize they had a Pentest. Sure.
That's yeah, cool. They just came out with it, like, I think, a year ago. I don't know the exact date. So, yeah, right now I'm focused through school, actually. There's the curriculum that I'm following. One of the courses, in order for me to complete a course, I have to get my Pentest Plus. Another course, I have to do my CYSA Plus. I also have to do ISC Squared certifications. They're the ones that create CISSP. I'm sure you guys heard of CISSP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have to get my cloud like security professional, like CCSP or something, and then my system security professional, it's like SSCP, something like that, from the same company. So those are all like in the program itself.
Okay. And that's it. That's bundled in the WGU.
Yeah. In order to pass this class, you need to pass that certification exam.
Okay, I got you.
I got a classic Andy question. So you start work at 5, you work till 2, you go to the gym. I see you at the pool. When do you study? When do you do all this school stuff that you're, I mean, 60 credits in 3 months? Like, dude, what are you up to? How are you doing this?
Weekends. I have some time, extra time on the weekends. And so I don't start at 5, so I get up a little early to get myself ready.
Yeah.
And I try to study at least an hour before I start working.
Okay.
And then, you know, after dinner, I'll spend like an hour or two study as well.
How's that morning study going? Because that's a Tim Burt hack that I had employed for a couple months, and I found it helpful.
I think it's better to study in the morning than at night.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're fresh. You don't have all these things there. You're thinking about things that happen throughout the day. You're kind of just focused. You know, and you can get distracted, like, oh, what am I doing? But then I found, like, what am I doing throughout the day, like tasks that I'm doing throughout the day. So I actually use Notion to keep track of like my daily tasks or activities, and I kind of like do it the night before, so I don't have to think about it in the morning.
Okay. And is that like a planning app?
Yeah, Notion is like an online, like, I mean, it's like notes on steroids.
Okay.
There's so much you can do on it. You can put like databases, you know, it's just, it's very, very powerful tool.
Are you using it to plan your days, you said, or like what you're going to study? Or okay.
Yeah, like I have my daily agenda. You know, I always put things that, you know, we have to do together. And then I also have a study tracker, which I can show you guys probably later. Just like my daily goals, what I want to study every day. And I have a calendar view, so I can see my 30 days. I can plan like what I want to study each day.
Is that a Notion? Is that a separate app?
Yeah, it's a Notion.
Might have to check out Notion, because I try to block all my stuff and plan my days just using a calendar.
Yeah.
You know, putting entries in the calendar. And I
tried that before too.
Yeah. I don't know how. I've joked with these guys before. I wind up just moving from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday. Things I don't get to, I push. And then Friday's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
Of things I haven't gotten to.
The thing for me is when I put it to a certain time, and then that time comes and I'm doing something else, then I'm like, then it just messes up everything else. When I can't accomplish one task, it just messes everything else. So I feel like when I just put it as a daily goal, doesn't matter when I do it.
Helps me a lot more. Don't tie it to a time of day. Just I got to do this today.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I like that approach. It's good. Yeah. Notion's good. Right. It's a tool that Aaron has espoused before. He's a big Notion user. It's a good one. I've tried to use it. I do use it, just not as much as I could or should probably, but it's a great tool. It's like, there's like OneNote and then there's Notion, right? Like it's good.
So Notion's a step above OneNote.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, OneNote's great. Like, I mean, I think there's some collaborative parts to Notion too. Like you can share notebooks and work collaboratively in Notion. Obviously OneNote's really good if you're, you know, Office 365 user, and you can share notebooks with teammates and stuff like that. But I think the sweet spot is for Notion is like the personal stuff, right? Like the stuff that you want to track. It's good stuff for sure. We'll drop.
I want
a link
to circle
to
back to pen notes. Testing real quick, Robin. So when you guys run the tests and find the vulnerabilities, do you have to fix those, or do you present them to the application owners? Like, hey,
yeah,
go fix your stuff.
Yeah, normally you present that to like developers.
Or like if they're rolling out a new application, they have to get scanned, right? And then
yeah,
they got to pass all the stuff before they can go prod. Yeah, okay.
So let's talk about that relationship, because I'm starting to see this in my personal career. It's kind of interesting that, you know, okay, you're going out and you're looking for this stuff, but then you push that off on, you know, the system owner of saying like, hey, there, you've got these vulnerabilities, you know, you need to either patch or, you know, whatever. Do you help like in the research of what they need to do and like maybe how to accomplish that? Or do you just basically give them the list and they've got to figure it out? You know, like how does that work? Because
that's such a jerk move, right?
Here yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, I'm kind of dancing around it, you know? Like...
No, when we found, so it's pretty early on, right? We just kind of did it. We actually have like a professional company coming in doing a pen test.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm going to compare results to see how good I did versus the guys who've been doing this for years.
Well, not only that, but I think for certain compliances, you have to have an outside source to do that, right?
Yeah. 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 So essentially too, like if you have customers, like how can they trust your internal pen test is as accurate as you say? But going back to what you asked, it's more or less the way we're doing it is once we get the results, try to find out what the high, because it kind of labels it for you, like critical, high, medium, low, right? And so we will go address from the top bottom. And luckily, there was no highs or criticals. Mm-hmm. And we kind of just come to them, hey, look, you got this vulnerability, you know, going, you know, we do a little Google search, you know, do a little bit of research. What have other companies done to fix this problem? Spend a lot of time on forums or GitHub and trying to get information, right? Mm-hmm. And we come back with, you know, hey, this is what we found. This is what we found how to fix it. But, you know, it's ultimately up to the product owner as well. They but know
that's
a different
that's
way.
In your report, Robin? Like you offer, okay, that's nice that you guys try to dig in and say, hey, this is what we saw. This looks okay. You fix it. That's nice.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no formal process at the moment, but that's just the way we want to do it. Like, we want to come informed, not just like, this is what you found, fix it.
Right.
The next thing I was going to ask, are you focusing on the actual technical penetration testing side of it? Or are you looking to, in the future, write policies around, we're going to do this kind of thing once a week, once a quarter, what have you, and then we expect that critical level vulnerabilities get patched in an X amount of time, high, medium, and so on. Are you going to work on a policy as well?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the policy writing, but I do know it's an essential skill, right? Understand, right? Know how to write policy and understand how to read it, right?
It's definitely a skill.
Yeah, but I'm more focused on the technical aspect
and,
you know, some touching on the policy aspects as well.
So
I wear many hats in my company, so I'll be doing both.
What is the policy? Like, I'm thinking firewall policies, but that's not what we're talking about.
It's kind of like vulnerability patching. If you find a vulnerability that's critical, you have this amount of days to fix it.
Oh, okay.
You know, stuff like that.
Here's our rules of like,
yeah,
what we find, the level, and how many days you have to fix, and
okay. Like standards, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Standards, procedures, compliance, stuff like that.
I run into you folks once. I had to stand up something. I had to stand up an application. And,
you folks.
You people.
Well, you know, so you know how it is, right? Everybody's got their own pressure and timelines and what they got to do. So I had this thing I had to roll out, and it had to be quick, right? Because everything's a priority. And I rushed like hell to get it out, and I get it all stood up. And then they're like, oh, you need a security scan. I'm like, wait, what? Because I'm a network guy. I don't stand up applications, but this particular thing I had to. So, you know, it was hell figuring out how to get it stood up. I pulled in some Vert people to help, blah, 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 whatever. And I get the scan and they're like, oh, yeah, bro, you're, you know, you're not good. What do you mean I'm not good?
He didn't do too well.
Just from the biggest networking vendor on the planet. How can this application not be good? And but it was really just a self-signed cert that they didn't like. But then I had to learn like how to find a CA and get a signed certificate, you know, get it loaded. And so it was a cool, it's just a whole world I don't know about, you know, the cyber security folks and application scanners. So the people you're talking to, are they coders? Like these are application development people, right?
Yeah.
So they probably know, just like I would know, network security. Yeah, like I'm guessing they're expecting something to come back on your report. Like they're kind of leaning on you as we did in my particular case. Like, hey, let's see if the vendor said we're good. I don't know. You know, so fortunately, you know, your teams can let us know, like, are we safe here? Can we, you know, can we roll this out?
Yeah. So
it's great. Very cool job.
So let me ask
you. Funny you mentioned certificates.
Why is that?
Go ahead. No, it's because at our old company, that was such a, I don't know how you guys do it, but tracking, like, when certificates expire.
Uh-huh. People send emails, and that's just the best way to do it, right? These 15 certificates are expiring, guys.
Okay. I think we had at one point a certificate expire in a production environment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Customer facing, right? So the previous company, we had customers that would use our systems, right?
So mm-hmm. What happens? Can they not get to it, or they just get that annoying browser thing saying...
They could not get to it.
Okay. Yeah.
The service is down.
Not trusted.
It just goes down, right? What kills that access? Because, like, so my home server, I have whatever the hell running, and I don't have certificates, but I can click that, you know, override security, go in anyway. So well, is there something that kills the client's connectivity when the certificate expires?
Yeah, when that certificate expires, it becomes untrusted. And then the application says, well, wait a minute, I don't trust the server anymore. I can't use it.
Yeah.
There's some applications that will let you override that, but
so that's what I'm getting at. What's the trust between the end user and the application?
It being
the certificate. Yeah, that SSL certificate. When it sees the certificate expire, that's when it says, nope, I don't trust you anymore. Yeah.
So the client comes in to hit it, there's an expired certificate, and they're like, nah.
Nope.
Yep. Not good.
And sometimes they won't even allow you to bypass.
Right, right.
That happened to me.
A good policy wouldn't let you bypass, right? Yeah,
We were doing SSL VPN on our phones at a company that I worked for, and we set up the initial rollout of this for just 1 year. We didn't set up a reminder on when this was going to expire, and we had rolled out, you know, not like a ton of phones, but it was enough for a small company and a small IT staff where it was like a pain in the butt. And the certificates expired, and the phones stopped calling home. And even after we updated the certificate, they wouldn't check in, they wouldn't get the new certificate. So the only way that we could fix this issue was to have them ship the phones back.
Ooh, wow, really?
And then reset up the VPN connection there and then send the phones back out.
That turned ugly a bit.
Yeah. 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 So that we learned.
But I think
love-hate relationship with those certificates.
I think some monitoring solutions now have a certificate monitor as well, right? Like, so it kind of like monitors.
It'll check and warn you, right?
I think.
Like when they're expiring. So whose job is that? Like, does that fall under cyber, Robin? Like, do you have to deal with tracking certificates and
we don't do it now. I don't know who does it now, but at my old job, it became such a problem that they put one dedicated person. Mm-hmm. That's all they did is track certificates.
That's part of there's one guy at our place that does that's like half his job basically. Is to watch that kind of stuff.
So you just run reports and it'll tell you when stuff expires, and then you just
he sets up reminders in his calendar. Like when we purchased,
right?
He's the one who purchases the cert, and so he keeps up with all that. He'll send us an email.
If he quits or gets fired, you guys are in trouble.
Yeah,
it's all just calendar appointments in his Outlook, right? That's it.
I think that's his workflow. He probably has something, you know. More
if that dude gets hit by a bus, they're gonna be like, oh my god.
better make that a shared calendar.
You might want to build some redundancy into that system.
But let's see here. I think that now they're starting to come out with monitors. I'm not 100% sure.
You got a question, Dan. What was it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think now.
Dan wants to know how thick you're gonna grow your beard.
No. I know what it was. So you said your title is cybersecurity engineer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let me ask this. How much of your job is doing like firewall maintenance or, you know, working in the firewall, like doing NATs or you know, that kind of stuff? Do you do any of that, or are you?
Yeah, that's network security, not cyber.
But I've talked to people in the security realm, and sometimes like, what they might do is they might not do the NATing, they might not do that kind of stuff. But when it comes to firewall policy rules, now that's their baby, you know? So I was just curious if if your current role, are you doing any hands-on on like network gear or anything like that, firewalls, whatever?
It's funny you mentioned that because just this week I was notified we need you to take over our SonicWall firewall.
Bum, bum, bum. Now you're the firewall
like,
guy.
But yeah, they were like, we need you to go in there. And like one thing that they're working on is MFA VPN.
Uh-huh.
So multi-factor, right? So they haven't completed that. So they're like, all right, we need you to complete this project and then just make sure that everything's up to date, you know, all the policies. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh, and by the way, you own it once you get that done.
Yo, yeah.
Sucker.
You touched it last.
Yeah,
I know, right? But a lot of things that I'm doing now is actually cloud-based, so like Azure. I'm really in Azure a lot right now.
Okay.
Like Azure Security.
Is that because your applications are built there?
Yeah. Well, they're not built there. They're built, but they're planning to move everything to Azure.
Yeah,
I got you.
So we have some applications in Azure and then some applications in other,
right,
you know, like cloud-based solutions, which is crazy, actually. One of our cloud-based solutions was based in Europe, and it was a data center that got on fire.
Oh, yeah.
OVH, I think.
Yeah, right. Cool. That was a big one.
Yeah, but I mean, there was redundancy, so.
Right,
yeah.
But
no biggie.
But yeah, that's the goal, right, to move everything to Azure and, well, maybe not everything Azure, maybe split some to AWS and... So that's been my focus. It's more learning Azure security.
Talk to Cloud Bart. Just pick one vendor and do one. That's what he said when he interviewed him. I forget what the analogy was, but it made a lot of sense. He's like, man, no. Because everybody goes multi-cloud just because reasons, I guess. But I think it's harder to maintain. So you're getting in the... Do you have any like Azure certs? Have you?
I just got the fundamental, the EZ900.
Right.
The only reason I did it because I got that free voucher. There was like that fundamentals course that Microsoft does, and it was
how was that? It was relatively easy?
I would say it was pretty easy. I mean, I finished in like 10 minutes.
Oh.
Studying or the test?
The test. Like
how long did it take you to consume the material?
A week.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, and that's with like all the everything else going on. So it's kind of like,
right?
You know, I don't know. I got bored too. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch Netflix or something.
Nice.
But I mean, it's not very hard. I don't think it's a good foundation, all right? Gives you an overview of all the products that it has and stuff like that. And
has it helped you do your job in Azure, or is it really just here's our product lineup?
I would say not really.
Right, okay.
What worked more is like hands-on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Awesome, Robin. This has been a great conversation. I am blown away and inspired by your drive to change so much in such a short period of time. And I think I got to get going on some self-help from myself here. Get back to my old habits. Before we depart, where can people find you?
So I have a blog, which has not been very active, but I promise to fix that.
It's a great blog.
it's just my name, robincanella.com. Very easy. You can also find me on Twitter. Yep. So, last name is actually Spanish for cinnamon. So you remember.
Ah, spicy.
Oh, very cool.
Twitter, right, at Robin Canella. LinkedIn, Robin Canella. Kept it very simple. I think I'm on Facebook or Instagram. I can't remember. But yeah, just Twitter, LinkedIn, and my blog. Those are the main three places you can find me.
And of course, our Discord.
Oh,
Robin
C. That's right. Robin C.
You want to hit up Robin, you can chat with him on our Discord. Awesome. I will put links to those in all of our show notes. Guys, any last minute questions before we wrap this one up?
Yeah. So, Robin, are you taking applications for mentorships? I need one.
Slide the DM.
You're 2021 here.
There's your 2022 and beyond project, Robin.
I think that's like the coolest thing about this show, right? Is we talk to these amazing people that just the motivation is just insane. And it really makes me like think about my life and like, okay, where am I at? What do I need to change? And just hearing these stories so one thing I wanted to mention earlier, is your ability to say, I'm going to do this. And then you just go, you know, balls to the wall and do it. And that's just like, that's very inspiring. So I'm going to have to step my game up, man. 'Cause I'm very motivated by stories like this.
Yeah, I just want to thank Robin for coming on. I think we all had a similar experience in 2020, and I can echo some of the experiences you had of like, it really made me take a look at things and, you know, my decisions in my life and what I want. And I've made some not quite as dramatic as you, because I think you're like next level, like, you know, kicking butt here. But yeah, like to be able to make some changes to, you know, make this year better than last year. And it's been nice, you know, getting some of those benefits. But super cool talking to you, our first cyber guy. I think I want to have your mentor on someday. We just got to keep working up the cyber stack to like, you know, it's fascinating stuff.
It's funny. Well, thank you guys for your comments. That's, you know, it's just, you don't hear it very often, right? And I don't expect the praise. You know, I'm trying to stay very low, humble to my roots. You know, that's at least that's how I feel. But one thing I've considered is actually a friend of mine brought this up is helping. So I grew up in New York City, very rough part in New York City. And they were like, how can you help people that were in your position knowing the steps you took to get where you are?
Yeah.
So I've toyed with the idea of like, maybe I should help mentor kids or, you know, people that live in bad neighborhoods or.
You'd be awesome at it.
That. Yeah, most definitely.
Absolutely.
I think that's great, dude. Seriously.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, Robin. I promise to never call you Cinnamon.
Oh, I'm definitely calling you Cinnamon now.
Should be your new Twitter handle at Robin
Call me
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, okay.
Cinnamon, you just Cinnamon. Probably might have the title to our episode.
There it is. Awesome. Thank you very much, Robin. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us this week. And come on back next week for the next episode of Art of Network Engineering. See ya. Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of NETENG. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.